Turn again to Matthew 12. And we'll start again at verse 1 of chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Thus ends our reading. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Lord God, we pray that having read your holy, infallible, and inspired word, that you would surprise us. That you would open up this word in such a way that we would see things that we had never seen before. Things that have awesome power and glory to them. That you would inspire us, strengthen us, encourage us in your word. Lord, all these things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. I know there's a few of you here that are thinking, there's nothing left here to preach on. We've covered it all. We know what you want to say, Jeff, and that's it. Okay? And in our text, there's no doubt a miracle here that looks probably about as unimpressive to you as what you think this sermon is going to be. Right? Because we're talking about some major things that are going on in this text. Here you have Jesus standing there as the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's making a new law. It's an amazing thing that he's doing. He's actually taking the Old Testament law and he's reconstructing it a little bit. What he's doing is he's saying that the greater need of the law, the greater message of the law, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, is going to be restricted by the smaller restrictions of the law, which are do not work on the Sabbath. Don't do anything. You shall do no work on the Sabbath. Now he says, he actually shows from a very simple, of bringing the truth of the Bible together, the truth of the Old Testament law together, he shows that how even sheep, even a lamb, we can see that our need as stewards and our care for the lamb means that if we have to lift, if we have to work on the Sabbath to save a lamb, he says, how much more so? And so what he's doing is he's lifting the restrictions. And he's saying, this is the new law. The new law is that from now on you can work on the Sabbath if, right? It's essentially, this is what he's saying. You can do good on the Sabbath. And so if that means that you got to lift, then lift. If it means you got to light a fire, then light a fire. If it means that you have to walk more than a Sabbath day journey, then walk more than a Sabbath day journey. If that's what it takes to do good, that's the new law. That doesn't seem very impressive, maybe, right? And then the application of this new law, he heals the man with the stricken hand. Right? Just so simple. Verse 13. Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. I don't know. Looks pretty unimpressive. Right? You think this is Jesus. This is the one who walks on the water. This is the one who stands up in the boat and he stops the wind and the waves. This is the one that feeds 5,000 at a time, 10,000, you know, whatever it is. Because it's women plus children. It's men plus women plus children. So it might have been 5,000, might have been 8, might have been 10, might have been 15,000. He just feeds them. He raises people from the dead, right? He takes people that are fully paralyzed and says, rise up and walk. Well, here he's establishing himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's making a new law, and then he does it with this totally unimpressive miracle. Well, this is nothing to compare to what you've done so many times. But it's interesting. It's interesting that this text is in three of the four Gospels. It's so unimpressive that every one of them talks about it. What if? What if? What if this is more than just a miracle? What if this is a command plus a promise, not just for one man, but for you and I? That's what's happening here. There's a command and a promise here. You know, Paul talks about the first command with promise. And probably some of you know what that is. But the first command with promise is the fifth commandment. Right? The fifth commandment is that honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Right? So there's a command, honor your father and mother. And then the promise is that your days may be long. Here's what this text says. It says, stretch out your paralyzed hand. Extend your paralyzed hand and I will heal it. And he's talking to the church. You see what's happening in our text. If you go back to Isaiah 58 and you look at that text and you look at what's happening, Isaiah is inspired by God to tell the Israelites, right? This is God's word coming to them. He's telling them what the problem is. You see, you're a people that know about the laws and the rules and the regulations. You're a people that loves to come and you want to know more about God and you want to worship and you fast and you do all these things. Very impressive, all your obedience and your holiness and your reverence. But is that really what I'm looking for? Is that what I desire so much? And the answer is no. And you know what? It's the same message that Jesus comes to Israel with. He said, you've got all these laws, these rules, these regulations, and you've got all this exterior obedience. You love the law, and you love God, and you love keeping the Sabbath day holy. But you hate your neighbor. You hate your neighbor. And you see, it's not a message that's just right here. It's all over, brothers and sisters. It's all over in the New Testament, in the Gospels. This message keeps hitting because he does a lot of healing on the Sabbath. He's poking them. He's pushing them to see something about him. You see, so Isaiah comes to a people that he says, this is what you're doing. But this is what is pleasing to God. And then in verses 13 and 14, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. You know what? They were going to the temple. They were going to the synagogue. They were doing all the things that we do. And they talked about holiness and reverence. And they talked about the silent holiness and reverence of coming into the sanctuary. And God says, uh-uh. You're not pleasing me. You think I want an outward sense of your holiness and reverence? You think that's what I'm looking for? No. You think about it. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but starting at verse 6, is this not a fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Those are all words that Jesus uses in verses 28 through 30 of Matthew 11. Right? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Right? These are all words that are being used in Isaiah chapter 58. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide your own flesh. Then your light shall come forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call. The Lord will answer. You shall cry. He will say to you, he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, right, the yoke of the law, of all these little things, these restrictions that are keeping you back from actually doing what I want, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend, that's the word. If you look at Matthew 12, verse 13, instead of stretch out, I believe that the translators actually should use the same word. They should use the word extend, because it's the same word, but what they need to be doing is connecting it with this text, because that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is connecting what he's saying there and what he's doing there to Isaiah 58. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones, etc. An amazing and beautiful promise that he's making to them. But somehow, our church, the church of Jesus' day, the church of Isaiah's day, somehow we keep thinking that, oh, it's just a spiritual message. Right? Luke chapter 14, what does it say? That's another Sabbath day thing, right? Luke chapter 14, verse 12, right? He's at the chief Pharisee's house on the Sabbath. And what's happening? They have a man with dropsy, a man that's sick. He's bloated with water, standing there. And they're testing him, right? To see what it'll do so that they might bring an accusation again. We're gonna get you, Jesus. Come on over to my house for lunch. Come on over for some fellowship. And then while we're at it, we'll have a little test for you. So Jesus heals them. And again, he brings the law in such a way that they cannot stand against it. They hate it. They despise it. They don't agree with it. But they can't beat it. They can't show from the scriptures that he's wrong. But look what he says to the chief Pharisee, his host, in verse 12. When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. We keep saying to ourselves, we don't have to do that. That's really, you know, that's not our thing. That's just a spiritual message. Right? Because you got to go, who's supposed to do that? Well, Mel Trotter does that. Guiding Light does that. That's the kind of thing they do. God isn't really calling us to do that. Can you imagine the chaos if we start doing that kind of thing? That's not comfortable. It wouldn't work good here. That's not the kind of church that we are. You see, there's a church that I like to go to when I get the opportunity. And it's called New City Fellowship, and it's a church plant from the Harvest OPC. And it's down on Burton by Eastern. Not the greatest neighborhood, okay? They started about 2.5 years ago with 60 people. 60 people that planted, that wanted to be part of this. And they got a pastor there, Pastor Micah. And he's an African-American and a Presbyterian minister, but I think it really helps that he's an African-American, because he goes out into the streets. He goes out into the neighborhoods. He extends his soul. But not just him, that whole congregation. In 2.5 years, they went from 60 people to like about 250 right now. They're straining at the walls. But I'll tell you something. Many of us, if we went to that church for a Sunday morning worship service, you would not feel comfortable. Because you see, when you bring people in, and you go out and you find the poor, the blind, the lame, and the maimed, and you bring them in, okay, they don't know all the rules. They don't know about all the reverence and the holiness, right? They don't know about being quiet and they don't know about all those kind of things that we're so good at and that we have such a high regard for. Oh no. This place is, it's a little out of control. It's a little like that. People coming and going. They've got all kinds of families with babies and kids, and everybody's up, and they're up and down, and you're in the middle of worship, and people are going to the bathroom, and nobody knows the rules. But you see, God's doing something there. A man with a withered hand. It's a claw. And Luke tells us that it was his right hand, his main hand. And it's paralyzed like this. Jesus commands him to do that which he cannot do. If you have a withered, paralyzed hand, you cannot extend it. But Jesus says, do it. And he did it. And it was healed. It was as whole as the other one. You see, I believe that when you look at what's happening, it's almost like a two-part thing is going on. In starting at Matthew 11 at the end, 28, through here. It's almost like there's two things that happen to Christians. First, you and I are in the darkness. And God calls us into his marvelous light through Jesus Christ. And he begins to heal our souls. Right? But we're broken. And it takes a little while to heal us. But somewhere along the line, we get convinced that we're already whole. And we don't seem to realize that, no, there's actually a second miracle that you're looking for. The miracle that brings forth life in other people. The miracle that if you can start doing, if you just listen to what he says. Don't extend your hand, extend your soul. Extend your soul to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. You know what? Whatever you may think when you go down to a church like that, if you've got the gospel in you at all, when you walk out the door, you've got to be thinking to yourself, this is kind of a marvelous thing. That they've got Hispanics, they've got African Americans, they've got Caucasians, whatever we call ourselves now, I don't know anymore. Okay? But they're all there. Tribe, tongue, nations. And then they're all in different levels. They have elders and they have men that are deeply learned in the gospel, deeply learned in the Word of God. They have young men that are filled with a desire to help and to minister and to disciple. And they've got a lot of people that need help. They're poor and they're blind and they're lame, etc. They don't know a lot about the gospel. But there's a marvelous light going on there. And it's because they're actually just doing what Jesus says. Extend your hand, extend your soul. Stop letting your own restrictions. Stop letting what you were taught for ages and ages from your elders and the traditions of the elders that are not in the scriptures. Stop letting that stop you. Stop thinking, oh, we can't have a coffee cup in the sanctuary. Where does that come from? Well, I don't know, but we've never done it and I don't like it. And when people are talking before the service, oh, where's that in there? Well, if you have a real desire for holiness and reverence, you wouldn't do that. Show me. You see, because, listen, when Jesus comes and he starts doing all this, John chapter 5, he heals the man, 38 years in infirmity. Okay? And 38 years this man's there. And then the scribes and the Pharisees see him. And you know what they dog him out for? You know what they're angry about? Not that he's healed. Because somebody, whoever healed you, told you to pick up your cot and carry it on the Sabbath. Well, according to the rules, you can't do that. So let's just never mind the fact this man's been on a cot for 38 years. We're very angry about the fact that that man was picking up his cot and walking out of here with that. That is not right. You see, what? That's crazy. You start letting something like that happen, we're going to have serious problems here. So they came to him and they asked him about working on the Sabbath. And he says, until now my father works and I work 7 days a week. He does the work of God. Healing, loving, reaching out, extending his soul. Extending his soul to the depths of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's the fire we have to have. That's the fire. It's the cross that drives this whole thing. It's seeing a Christ who came and extended his soul to that very depth. An innocent man. Why is he up here? Why is he doing this? He's done no wrong. And he's up here and he's saying, forgive them. He's done no wrong. And he says, forgive them. When that grabs your soul, when that grabs your heart, when that grabs your mind and starts to burn, that Christ deserves everything I've got. That's the vision that drives the church. When Jesus came and he was healing and doing these works of love and compassion, you know what they saw? They saw exactly the same thing when people like ourselves walk into New Fellowship, New City Fellowship. We do not like how this is going. This reverence, holiness thing. We're very bothered about the fact that there's a little bit shaky here. That's exactly what they said about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's upsetting the whole apple cart. Jesus is giving us a command. And if you want to see it happen, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just obey Him. Let's just invite. You know, start right here. Start in your own congregation. Start inviting somebody from the congregation over. One of our widows or widowers. Somebody that maybe doesn't have anything to do on a Sunday. Let's just invite them over to dinner. Let's start there. Right? Because why is it that we've spiritualized this idea that Jesus says to these chief Pharisees, when you have a feast, invite the hungry, invite the poor and the blind and the lamed and the maimed. Why do we keep thinking that doesn't apply to us? That's what I can't get past. Because you know what? Guess what happens when you do it? The promise is in Isaiah 58. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. Your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. I want to be a watered garden. I want my soul, when I start to get thirsty, I want it to have that water pouring upon it. I want to feel my soul have the Spirit of God pouring upon it. You see, here's what I'm convicted of. There's a name. There's a name for this. When you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, when the church starts to do that, guess what happens? There's a name for it. Revival. You want to see revival? Just do this. Jesus says, extend your hand. And he promises that if we do it, he's going to heal it. You know, because it's kind of a cool picture of what he's doing here. Because I believe the picture is just very simple but very powerful. A one-handed person can basically take care of themselves, but nobody else. But if he heals us, and he does have to heal us, because you and me are the same. I know it. I know who I've been most of my life. I've been the guy that doesn't, looks and spiritualizes it and says, no, that doesn't mean, I only get one day that I can just really rest. So I need to take my nap, I need to have my nice meal, and then I just go to church, and I've done the law. But what about that? Those people that walked in today, did you get a chance? No, I was tired. Extend your hand. You and I need to be healed. Right? A man with a paralyzed hand, it's paralyzed. It doesn't work. It needs to be healed. And Jesus is telling us how to be healed. If you see this in your soul, if you know, the words are right here. I mean, he's telling us. And in Luke 14, and there's another one in Luke chapter 4, right? Another little story, two verses long, and it's in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. Real simple, right? He goes down to Capernaum. He preaches in their synagogues. And the first miracle is a demon-possessed man pops up and starts yow-yowing, and he kicks the demon out. Okay? And then they go home. They go to Peter's home, Simon Peter's home, and there's a mother-in-law there, but she's sick, high fever, on her bed. Right? This is one of these little stories, not impressive at all. We're not impressed by this story. That's because we haven't been looking at it right. The woman of a home, sick on her bed when Jesus comes there, what does she want to do? If she's like any regular woman, she wants to show hospitality. She wants to serve them. Jesus heals her. And this is what it says. And she arose and served them. Here's what I believe that Jesus is saying about the gospel. Two things. One, come, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle. And I always forget this phrase. Okay? But basically humble. And you will find rest for your soul. That's one. You want to find rest? Start with Jesus. Submit yourself to him. And the second thing he's saying, in the context of the Sabbath, extend your hand. Extend your hand. Just try it. Let's stop doing what we've been doing for generations because it's not working. Our churches are enclosed. They're closed off. Many of them are dying out. And the ones that aren't, if you walk into them, I hope you don't have too much need. Because they're not going to be there for you. So I'm asking you, study the scriptures. Pray about them yourselves. Because God's talking to us, each one of us as individuals, and he's talking to us as church. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, once again we come before you this evening hour. And we pray that you would write your word upon our hearts, that you would inspire us in such a way that we would see what is pleasing to you is to extend our soul to our neighbor. And instead of talking about the reverence and the holiness of worshiping a God that somehow doesn't involve your neighbor, we pray, Lord, that we'd be given a heart and a mind to realize this, that when you're looking at us and you're seeing what is pleasing, what is pleasing is when we're reaching out and extending our soul to others. That is your heart. That is the heart of the living God. That is the heart of the God that goes after the prodigal son. That is the heart of the God that's always seeking the lost. That is the heart of the God that wants to feed the hungry and to heal the lame and the maimed. And wants to give sight to the blind. And he wants to give hearing to those who are deaf. And he wants to give tongues to those who are mute. Lord, you can do all things. But first you have to convict us that this is the truth. So show us off the pages of your own scripture that this is the truth Make us to see it, make us to hear it, make us to understand it, and then give us the strength to reach out our hand and see what happens. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, for your compassion, for your goodness, for your love, for your word. All these things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.